I was just singing your song, singing hallelujah. You're not putting me on yet, huh? Uh-oh, you caught me. All right. Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night's Bible study. We're in Torah portion 28, Metzorah. Hebrew for one being diseased, or one having za'arat. And I just want to say that His word is not hard. It's easy. It's just we was trained wrong. We was trained wrong going into New Testament, and it's simple. I had great opportunities this week, all this week on fishing trips. You know how many know at your work arena, there's a lot of people out there in that harvest that you can talk to, minister to, just being a light in front of them. And I've been able to be that last couple of trips. I had a 90-year-old guy, Mr. John, I'm trying to remember his last name. Carpenter, I think it is. Mr. John Carpenter, him and his son. His son is in his 60s and he is in his 90s. He'd never fished. He'd never caught a fish. He'd never been fishing. And he came down and I helped him catch fish after fish. He couldn't believe it. He had a great time. And then we got back to the marina. He introduced me to his wife, and she is in her 90s also. They've been married for 78 years, faithfully. They got married in a Baptist church. And so we was able to talk for a little while, and I explained to them my story a little bit. I always share pastor his boat sitting right next door, you know. And they always ask the question, well, what are y'all learning in church, and what's going on right now? And it's so simple. You don't have to say a whole lot. A lot of times, all you got to do is say something simple like this. I said, you know, we was raised in church all our lives, and we learned everything in the end of the book. But, you know, we learned just recently through these last 6 or 7 years that we got to go back to the beginning of our book and just learn everything from the beginning. And you know that the Bible was written to a Hebrew people, not a Western culture. And we got to learn about Hebrew people and their culture and what it's all about. And we learned about who Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was and all those things. And they're like, wow. And so, you know, it seems like these Torah portions may be kind of overwhelming, which they can be if you make it like that. But you can't learn it all in one setting. You can't learn it all in 1 week. It's going to take a lifetime to learn it. But we sit down and we absorb as much as we can, learn as much as we can, and we put it into action in word and deed, in front of the lives of other people. And so it's just those simple things. And after a while, it starts getting on you because you're learning it. It starts becoming you. When people ask you a question and you go to talk about it, you don't realize how much you have in you till somebody brings it up. And I was able to share with that lady a little bit about, you know, we talk about Jesus because she was familiar with Jesus, Yeshua. And we're sharing with her, you know, what they had to do when they committed a sin. Hebrew people in the camp, whenever they committed a sin, they would have to take their own lamb, their own animal. And I was able to explain it. And she already knew by reading some things already about, oh, yeah, I know about cutting them up and skinning them. Yeah, and I explained to her in detail. I said, and when you go before the priest didn't do it for you. You was responsible for you to take care of what you did wrong. And said, so it's more than just Jesus saved me, and now my sins are forgiven. You go back to the beginning of your book and you read it, and it tells you what they had to do. There was a serious responsibility for the wrong that you did. I said, it'd be just like my little girl. She has cats at the house that we love dearly. It would be the same thing. That animal that you love, you would have to do that. And she's like, oh, yeah, wow. And it's like they're probably hearing this for the first time, how it goes together. But we got to go back to the beginning. And then I had another incident where I've been taking this gentleman fishing for the last couple of years. And, you know, sometimes maybe in those years you don't say much. You know, it might not be the right time. But here it is years later, for the first time, he brings his son-in-law on the boat. And he says, Chad, meet my son-in-law. He's a newly ordained minister. I'm like, okay. And so we're just idling out the canal. I'm not saying anything. And so the first question pops up. He says, He says, hey, Chad, tell my son-in-law what y'all learning right now. What's going on in church right now? So, Father, you listen to the set-apart spirit. There's a lot of things that can roll around in your mind, but you just start sharing. And then there was a lot shared. It was pretty incredible. And you know, when you're sitting there sharing, you don't realize how much is in you till it pops up. Because one of the subjects I was able to bring up, because I've been learning it so well, is the word leprosy. Because all my life when I read it, it was leprosy. Leprosy, that's all it was. But then you start doing your history and your language and put it in its context and find out it's zaharat. It's a skin disease that happens on your body. And we go through the Torah portion and read that. But I was explaining to them, if you go look it up in its Hebrew correct setting, that leprosy came much, much later. And I was able to share all those details with him, what zaharat was. And then we got off that subject, and I get on the roll. We're going down the river, and one of the other guys they brought along, he comes up front, Mr. Stephen, and he goes, hey, what about that disease thing there? Tell me a little bit more about that. And I said, well, let me share with you one thing that I learned that I'm using in my life is about, it was like, and I was able to share, like we had the mold, you know, after Hurricane Katrina, when we had the houses that needed to be gutted. And I was explaining that story. Zaharat got on the house, but it was about the person who had the house. If they went and talked bad about somebody or did certain things, because I even shared with them a little bit about, what's that word for it? Lashon Hara. Yeah, Lashon Hara. I was explaining what Lashon Hara is. You know, talking about certain individuals and gossiping and what happened to them. Well, the man guy in the boat says, "Ooh, I got to watch my mouth. I got to quit saying some certain things, man." Because, you know, you just share. I'm just sharing what the Bible says and what it's saying. And so we got to share all those stories. And so I was sharing with that guy, Mr. Steve, about the house. And I said, you know, you're serving God and you're loving God and you're going to church and reading your Bible and you're doing everything He says, and all of a sudden you start prospering. You get your house, you get your car, you get everything going for you, and all of a sudden you put your Bible down, you don't read your Bible, you don't talk to God too much anymore. And so that house all of a sudden showed up some zaharat on it because He's trying to get your attention. Hey, it was me that got you here. Now you're forgetting about me. He tries to get your attention. Hey, and then all of a sudden you start running into troubles. It was He who got you here. Don't forget about the one who did that. And besides that, He's the one who created us and made us. And so we had that great conversation. You know, when you're on a boat traveling to one point to another, it takes a little time to get there, and you're able to have a great conversation with people. You're there with people all the time. And God sets us up in some amazing places to talk with people, meeting all kinds of people. And so that's what's been happening in my life this past week. You never know what person you're going to meet, what's going on in their life. I had some people today, and nothing much was talked about. We just fished. I didn't say much about anything today. You just start certain days, you just shine a light and don't say nothing at all. Every day is different. So the Torah portions are continued tonight. We're going to go through a couple of more little parts we didn't discuss. And it's about understanding Yah's likes and His dislikes and zaharat. We're talking about what's clean and what's unclean. And so we talked about Adam and Eve in the beginning. It was all clean. And then when they got separated, there was clean and unclean. And they got separated into unclean. And so Matzorah was one who had Zaharat. And we talked about his house and his possessions when he had Zaharat. I was reading in Proverbs chapter 8 this morning. And like Pastor was saying, you go to a chapter and you listen to it over and over and over. And it's not hard. And He starts giving things to you. But Proverbs chapter 8, 1 through 36, is becoming wise. And it says, does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights along the way, between the paths, she has taken her stand. beside the gates leading to the city, at the entrances, she shouts, O men, I call to you, and my voice is to the sons of men. You simple ones understand insight, and you fools be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I speak noble words, and the opening of my lips is about straightness. For my mouth speaks truth. Yehovah's mouth speaks truth, and wrongness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. None of them are twisted, and none of them are crooked. All of them are plain. They're plain and simple to him who understands, and straight to those who find knowledge. Accept my discipline, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all delights are not comparable to her. I, wisdom, have dwelt with insight, and I find knowledge and foresight. The fear of Yehovah is to hate evil. I have hated pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth. So the fear and respect of Yehovah is to hate evil, hate pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth. He says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Mightiness is mine. By me sovereigns reign and rulers make righteous inscriptions. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. And you know, when you get to the word love, the more you learn about Yehovah and what love is all about, it's not just about loving everybody or the way man describes or gets his interpretation of what love is. Love is, if you obey me, you will love me, if you do what I say. So obedience is loving Yah. We got to get that in our hearts and our minds. Loving Yah is being obedient to him. So we can't love our neighbor if we don't learn to love Yah and be obedient to him. When we're obedient to him and following his commands, and we talked about Za'arat, we're looking at it on our hand, on our arm, wherever it is, we got to take care of it. We can't be looking at anybody else's. We got to take care of this. We got to bring this before the priest. We got to bring it before Yeshua HaMashiach. We got to explain to him and tell him what we did wrong, why we saw it, what we got to fix, make those adjustments with those certain people we did wrong to, and fix those things. But that's what loving our neighbor is, us getting it right. Loving Yehovah with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, of being obedient to his commands. That's loving him. And then we'll be able to believe in what he's trying to tell us. Then that's where belief comes in. Whenever Abraham came out of the paganism and he came out of where he was told to and he was obedient, he had to believe and trust in Yah where he was going. He knew where he was going. There's a lot of stuff in my life every day. My thoughts, try and think and think and think and think how the day is going to go, how tomorrow is going to go. But I have no idea how it's going to go. But the set apart spirit knows exactly how it's going to go because Yehovah knows everything. That's how my day is going to go. I don't know how to get what, do this, that. All my memory from yesterday, all my thoughts. But I really don't know how it's going to play out today. So I'm going to do like Yeshua did. When it was hard for him, it was tough for him in different areas, he trusted in the set apart spirit which lined up with his father's words. His father's words is what lines up with the set apart spirit. It says, I love those who love me, and those who earnestly seek me do find me. Continually looking and reading in the scriptures and having that relationship and getting to know him. Just like a man and a woman, when they first come together, before they get married, they're getting to know each other. And even after they get married, they're still getting to know each other. And that's how it is with Yehovah, through Yeshua. I love those who love me, and those who earnestly seek me do find me. Riches and esteem are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold and fine gold. Am I increased in choice silver? I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of right ruling and mishpatim, to bestow substance on those who love me, to fill their treasuries. Yehovah possessed me, the beginning of his way. As the first of his works of old, I was set up ages ago at the first, before the earth ever was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs heavy with water. Before mountains were sunk, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth and the fields, or the first dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he set the clouds above, when he made the fountains of the deep strong, when he gave to the sea its law, so that the waters would not transgress his mouth. When you're reading this, it's like, he's the Almighty. He's the Almighty that made and created all these things before I ever was. Before the first Adam and Eve ever was he. How are we ever supposed to say that I'm in charge, or I can do this, or I can do that on my own? I need him. He created me. I didn't create me. He created me. He's the one I need to look up to. So that the waters would not transgress his mouth when he inscribed the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was his delight day by day. And this wisdom that's being spoken of here is his wisdom that we can have. All we got to do is go back to the beginning of the book and read, in the beginning, he created this, he created that. It was light, and where there was no light, he pulled it out of darkness and all these things. And on the fourth commandment was Shabbat. We need those Shabbats. We go back and get all this wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. And I was his delight day by day, rejoicing before him all the time, rejoicing in the world, his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. And now listen to me, you children, for blessed are they who guard my ways, who shamar my ways. Shema, listen, discipline, and become wise, and do not refuse it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. It's easy to wake up in the morning and go about your business without telling him hello, without waking up and telling him. Sometimes it don't even feel like, it feels like you're just talking to the air. Father, just thank you for waking me up this morning, giving me breath. And you're just praying. It doesn't seem like anything's getting anywhere. So I thank you for my wife, my pastors, my brothers, the congregation, Ephraim, Manasseh, and I'm going through it all. And then it doesn't happen until I'm in my truck and I'm listening to the scriptures, and all of a sudden, boom, and you start weeping. Sometimes it takes a little time. It doesn't seem like you get anywhere, but it's there. He's there. He was there all night long while I was sleeping. He was there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It's this right here, your mind, that tries to trap you and trick you and make you think something that's not true. And oh, don't forget about the enemy. He's constantly there, just like on the Passion of the Christ. Lie, die. Lie, die. It's too heavy for you. It's too weighty. There's nothing going to happen. You're never going to get it done today. It's too big of a weight for you. It's too heavy. It's too hard. It's too much. It's too much. You'll never understand it. All those lies, lies, lies. But the set apart spirit says you can do all things through your Messiah who strengthens you and gives you the inner power and strength to get it done. And you can. And at the end of it, after you burn through all of those and you push through and it happens, you go, pow. You're like, wow, you are amazing, Father. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And it's like that every day. Every single day it's like that. Whoever finds me shall find life. Who wants everlasting life? And obtain favor from Jehovah. And when you listen, you say, Father, let my footsteps be ordered by you. He steps in. Doesn't seem like it's going in the way that you think. And all of a sudden, you just saw it's happening. You can't explain it. It just happens. But he who sins against me injures himself. All who hate me love death. And he ends it on a perfect note. If that's the way you want to go, that's what you're gonna, what's going to happen to you, just injuring yourself, and you're going to end up dead. I had a guy on a boat today to remind me of this a little bit. I'd forgot about it, but thank you, Father, for reminding me. It's sad. You know, this guy's on my boat, and, you know, I'm sharing with him my family. And he said, oh, I got three children. They're all in their 30s now, minus one. We lost one in 2022. He was our oldest boy. I said, what happened? He said, well, since he was a teenager in high school, he got into the drugs, opioids. And he says we brought him to counsel. We tried everything we could. It's like he was just hypnotized. We couldn't break him from the habit until he ended up dying on opioids. He overdosed and died. He said, but my other two children, they're like role models. They've been to college. They listen. They soft hard. They do everything. But just that one. And I was able to share just a little bit. I said, you know, the scriptures talk about a rebellious child, like Cain and Abel, you know, a rebellious child, no matter what God tries, they just won't listen. It's like Rebellion brings in witchcraft. It's like a spell. No matter what you try and do, it just it entraps a person in rebellion. And so, you know, we just talked about that a little bit briefly, and that was it. I didn't say anything else more. You know, he said, man, we tried everything, bring them to council and this and that, you know. But you just think about those things. It's sad. It's sad. You get under a spell, a trance. And I told him, I said, you know, that's not just that subject. I said, there's many subjects that people get put on a spell for doing things they're not supposed to be doing. They get entrapped in it. And it's a trap. And it's a travesty. So we're going to start in slide 36. Declaring and making necessary adjustments to be set apart. The one to be cleansed had to be brought to the priest, who would instruct the one being cleansed as to what he should do to get rid of the impurity or darkness that has caused the blemish, and how to correct the behavior that caused the appearance of the za'arat. These Torah portions have been helping me, like I shared with somebody the other day, in disciplining myself in certain things that I do. I don't know about y'all, but that's how it's been helping me a lot. This is a clear picture of how we are to come to our high priest. It makes you, when you catch it, you fix it right away, rather than letting it prolong. Because you know how worse it can get going further on down the road. And the number one thing that really, really sticks in my mind, I don't want to be outside the camp. And if I do get put outside the camp, I don't want to be out there too long. So Yeshua is the one that I go to, and I repent and I ask for forgiveness. And I make sure I fix those things, whatever it is, because we don't want to leave that linger. There's a clear picture of how we are. So we're looking at this physically, and we're also looking at it on a spiritual. There's a clear picture of how we are to come to our high priest, Yeshua Messiah, confess our sin, that he can pronounce us clean, and then we have the responsibility to listen to his clear instructions. You won't know what to do if you don't know what the instructions say. We have to read the instructions, what his likes and dislikes are, what his behavior is, what is he's like, and what we're supposed to be like. And we find that in Yeshua, as how to walk right and turn away from the path that caused the sin. Remember, sin is going in the wrong direction. We need the teshuvah, turn away from the wrong direction and get right back to where it was following on the right path. That causes sin, revealing true repentance. As we look at the Hebrew word Torah, Strong's H2893, I had to put this one in here because I love this word. We see a wonderful picture in this word alone that speaks of our need to come to Messiah, who cleanses us from all sin. Why I say this is because when we look at the ancient symbols of these letters, we get a clear picture of this very message of this Torah of cleansing contained in just one word. And you know, we can get up here and we could be saying what we know in our heart and our mind, but I just find tonight, I said, you know what? I want to go back and just look at a couple of these Hebrew letters so we don't forget about them. Read over them again. Just keep looking at them. I know you probably do it at home, but maybe some here haven't. We'll look at them again tonight. The root word for Torah, H2893, read from right to left of the letters Ta, Tet, He, Resh, and He. And when you see this word written in the ancient pictograph script, we see the message clearly. Let me show you the original pictograph of these letters from right to left. So you see the Tet, and the Hay, and the Resh, and the Hay. You got a clay basket. You got a man with the revelation raising up and surrendering to Yehovah. You have the head. Look up to our chief, Messiah, and Hay again, same word. So we look at Tet. A container made of wicker or clay. Containers were a very important item among the nomadic Hebrews. They were used for storing grains and other items. That's why you need to learn the Hebrew culture. That's how you get to learn the language. That's how you get to learn the history and put it all in its context. That's what I was sharing with a bunch of people this week. You won't understand what you're reading in the New Testament if you don't go back to the beginning of the book. If you don't know what the beginning of the book is saying, you're just going to make up stuff when you're reading in the end. And it's sad. That's just the way we was raised and taught. But now we've got to go back and fix and adjust those things. They were used for storing grains or other items. Wicker baskets were used as nets for catching fish. The meanings of this letter are basket, contain, store, and clay. Hey, is to behold, look, breathe, sigh, and reveal a revelation. From the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out, and it also carries for us the meaning of surrender as we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift up our hands in praise, declaring His authority under which we humbly submit. We submit to His authority. Ancient pictograph for Resh is the head of a man. This letter has the meaning of head or man, as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. And there's Hey again. Now, in terms of the cleansing process, we see the following message to this pictograph lettering of Torah. We as clay baskets come and surrender and raise our hands in acknowledgement and confess our sins, the lawlessness before our head and our high priest, Yeshua Messiah, and put our lives in the hands of Him who lifts us up from the miry clay and makes us clean and purifies us from all unrighteousness. And it puts us right back in right standings. And it gives us life, and we get direction, and we get to do just like Yeshua did. We get to hear His voice and go in the path in which He directs. And if you keep looking at the passion of the Christ and see everything He went through, I assure you there's nothing in your life you're going through as hard as it was for Him. He went through a very, very difficult time and task. It makes me weep every time I watch it. And whenever I'm going through something or I think that this is a little too tough or a little too much, I think about that. And I say, no, it's not. No, it's not. I can do this. And you push through and you make it through. Every time you can make it through Him. And remember His word. 2 Corinthians 4:7, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels that, so that the excellence of the power might be of Elohim and not of us. All of a sudden, you're relying fully your power and strength on Him to pull you through, not yourself. Because I promise you, on yourself, you won't make it through. Your flesh is too weak. But in Him, you're made strong. And that just goes to prove it whenever you're going through something difficult, and at the end of it, when you make it through it, whatever you're going through, it just proved that it was Him that brought you through it, that gave you the strength to make it through. And Yirmiyahu, O house of Israel, am I not able to do with you as this potter, declares Jehovah? Look, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Job 10:9, remember, please, that you have made me like clay, and would you turn me into dust again? I'm not going to get into the Haftorah. But going back to slide 44, I just made a little note here. So we individually bring to the priest and make the necessary adjustments in the previous Torah portions, make it right with the person we did the wrong to, so we are responsible, not the pastor and the priest. Let the master be in control of our lives. He knows everything. And we're to trust our lives in His hands. I write this little note. Sometimes I write these notes like I'm going to forget something, but yet it's all there. You know that? Pastor tells me that sometimes. I can hear him when he's giving the message. Say, hey, look, just quit. I even talked to Brother Nathaniel about that a while back. I said, man, I put my notes down. He said, brother, just put the notes down. And he says, it's the most scariest thing you ever do in your life. He said, but just get up there. Forget your notes, and I'm telling you, he does an amazing thing. And I get afraid that I'm going to forget something. And so I write these notes down, but yet I get up here, and it starts spewing out. Pretty incredible. But you keep wanting to second guess and wanting to rely on yourself rather than the Spirit of Yehovah. And it takes some time. Hey, it takes some time to trust and rely whenever you on a bicycle with training wheels, and all of a sudden they come off. It's kind of scary at first, You can fall. It gets a little scary. Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. We're still talking about the Torah. For the entire Torah is completed in one word, in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour one another, that goes to Lashon Hara, right? If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not accomplish the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you desire to do. The flesh stops you, short stops you every time from doing what you're supposed to accomplish in Yehovah. Yeshua constantly prayed, and he stayed in tune with the Father, so he wouldn't let his flesh be in charge. I remember in Passion of the Christ, he got there and he knew he had to go. He knew the Torah. He read about himself what he had to do. So he received power by getting on his knees. He prayed to the Father and trembling, knowing what he was going to have to go through. And he stood up and he was endued with power to get it done. Don't sit there and think about it. You think about it, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. You got to rely on the power of the Spirit and listen to the voice of the Father to go on through with it. Because the flesh don't want to do it at all. It wants to be catered to. It wants to be meal my about everybody else. The flesh is terrible. And remember, we talked about love. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, love is not defined by men. Love is defined by Yehovah. To be obedient to him is to love him. And when we love him, be obedient to him, then we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. Isaiah chapter 1, 9 through 31. Unless Jehovah of hosts had left to us a small remnant, we would have become like Sodom and would have been made like Amorah or Gomorrah. Hear the word of Jehovah, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Torah of our Elohim. You people of Amorah, Gomorrah, of what use to me are your many slaughterings, declares Jehovah. I've had enough of ascending offerings of rams and fat-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courtyards? Stop bringing futile offerings, incense. It is an abomination to me. New moons and Sabbaths, the calling of gatherings. I am unable to bear the unrighteousness in assembly. My being hates your new moons and your appointed times. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread out your hands, I hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I do not hear. Your hands have become filled with blood. And there's a word right there we're learning. Wash. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean, right? Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Stop doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek my mishpatim, my right rulings. Reprove the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says Jehovah. Though your sins are like scarlet. You see that word right there? We're going to learn a little bit about that word scarlet tonight. Though your sins are like scarlet, because it can go two ways. Scarlet, your sin is like a stain you can't remove. And you're going to die and you can't help yourself. You're permanently done to death. You can't escape it. But there's also a scarlet of the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us from all our unrighteousness, that gives us eternal life and gives us a brand new start to be obedient to it, to make it to eternal life. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you submit and obey, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of Yehovah has spoken. How a steadfast city has become a whore. I have filled it with right rulings and righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, your silver has become dross, your wine is mixed with water, your rulers are stubborn, and companies of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and runs after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow reach them. Therefore the master declares, Jehovah of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I shall be eased of my adversaries, and I shall be avenged of my enemies, and I shall turn my hand against you, and shall refine your dross as with lye, and shall remove all your alloy. I shall give back your judges as at first, and your counselors at the beginning. After this you shall be called to the city of righteousness, a steadfast city. Zion shall be ransomed with right ruling, and her returning ones with righteousness. And the destruction of transgressors and of sinners is together. And those who forsake Jehovah shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the terebinth trees which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be for tow, and his work for a spark. You know what a spark is on dry hay? Oof, it's going up in flames. Everything thinks it's okay for a long period of time until all of a sudden here comes that spark. Here comes the true word of Yehovah in the end. And it's going to tell what's right and what's not right. And it's going to be burned up. Let the work of those who are doing wrong, let it be proved, and it'll be burned up. But those whose work is right, it shall stand when it's refined. It shall stand through the fire. You know, history is going to repeat itself. It's in plain sight. What happened with it was it got progressively worse from Cain, Abel. It got worse and worse and worse. Just like we talked about on Shabbat, all the way till he had the sin of flood because they were evil continually. And that was a water. And it's the same thing now. History is going to repeat itself. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And there's only a small remnant that's going to stand through it all. In the end, it's all going to get burned up. The wheat and the tares are going to be pulled up together. One's going to be burned and one's going to stand. History is going to repeat itself. It's going to happen again, but by fire. Once by water, now by fire. And both shall burn together with no one to extinguish. Isaiah 1:18, come now, and we just talked about that. Let us reason together, says Jehovah. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we're going to go to slide 76. And we'll talk about the scarlet. And slide 76 through 78 a little bit. And then we've got a little bit more detail that I found to go through on that part. The scarlet. The Hebrew word for scarlet is talat. Strong's H8439, which means worm. The scarlet red color is believed by some to have came from the crushed body of an insect or worm that attaches itself to a tree, lays eggs on it, puts a sack of red juice around the eggs to protect them, then dies, having emptied itself out for them, a wonderful picture of Yeshua. The insect, the Coccus ilicis, is related to the cochineal insect and found on the twigs and branches of evergreen oaks in southern Europe and North Africa. They belong to the family of insects known as the Cicadae or scale insects. When the female of the species is ready to lay eggs, she attaches her body firmly to the tree. The eggs are laid beneath her body, and following the egg laying, the insect dies. Thus, the eggs are protected by the insect's body until the larvae are hatched. It was from the dead bodies of these insects that the scarlet dyes used in ancient times were extracted. Scarlet speaks of sacrifice and typifies Messiah in his sufferings and his giving of himself to be crushed for our iniquities. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Messiah also has loved us and gave himself for us a gift and an offering to Elohim for a sweet smelling fragrance. So if you remember the story of Tamar, when she has twins, one of the twins, the first one, raises his hand up, and there's a scarlet string tied on the finger. That was to signify the lineage of our Messiah. In Psalms 22:6, David says, "But I am a worm." So remember, we just talked about worm. "I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." When you read this, you're reading about Mashiach, what Mashiach was going to do. And he says of himself, "But I am a worm and no man." So this "I am a worm" is not like a lower down like worm. It signifies something. If you don't know what the scarlet is, and if you don't know the history and the context and the language of this word, you won't understand what David's saying when he says, "I am a worm." So we're going to look at this. So right here in Psalms 22:6, worm, the Hebrew word, tolat, is H8438. And it comes from H3216. It says a grub, but used only in this connection of the color from it. A crimson, cloth, dyed, crimson, scarlet. Crimson, scarlet. That's in the Hebrew word in its meaning. And then we have Genesis chapter 38, verse 28. And it came to be when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, "This one came first." And right there, scarlet, the Hebrew word is shani. Shani, Strong's H8144, which is of crimson, is an insect, a color. It's a stuff dyed crimson scarlet thread. So that's the Hebrew word. And so I'm going to read a little something I found here. It says, "For the first time it is used in Scripture is in the book of Genesis 38, 28, which we just read. Therein is the account of Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, and how she forced him to perform the righteous duty of giving her a son when he refused to allow his other son to perform the duty of his deceased brother. In that account, Tamar becomes pregnant with twins from Yehuda, and when their birth takes place, the firstborn, Zerach, pushes his arm out of the birth canal, upon which is immediately tied a scarlet thread. The line of Yehuda was thus secured to continue with the birth of these twins." The verse reads in a fresh translation from the Hebrew, "And it came to be at her birthing, and a hand was placed forth, and the midwife took it and tied upon his hand a crimson thread, saying, 'This came first.'" The account is of extreme importance, for it actually plays a vital role in understanding how the virgin birth of Messiah Yeshua is a necessity according to the Torah. This is another teaching in itself, but is mentioned here to see the importance of this event and the inclusion of the crimson thread in a messianic perspective. The crimson thread and its relation to the Messiah build further in yet another passage. In the book of Psalms 22, we read in verse 6 that the psalmist made the declaration, and a tolat, "I am a worm." The phrase includes the Hebrew name for the insect mentioned above. "I am a worm and not a man, a scorn of man and despise the people." This is extremely significant to the reader, for here we see Messiah making the claim that he is not to be understood merely as he is in appearance, a man, but rather what his true purpose entails. Just like the insect has to die in order to be of any use, the crimson color cannot be extracted without the death of the worm. In the same way, Messiah's purpose in his first coming was ultimately to die so that man could benefit from his lifelong faithfulness to the Father in all things. The fact that this sacrificial aspect of the worm happens on wood is in itself intensely significant. The death of Messiah took place on the wood of the cross. And the declaration of the tolat here we see in Psalms 22:6 can be taken as a prophetic of when he was affixed to the cross, as the passage goes on to speak of his hands being nailed. Furthermore, tolat must sacrifice itself to bear offspring. It cannot bear offspring without dying, for it forever attaches itself to the tree in order to protect its young while they wait to come forth at their proper time. Additionally, these young feed on their mother for initial sustenance. And you think about that. Yeshua says, this is my flesh and this is my blood. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. This is the living Torah that I give for you so you can have eternal life and live. In the same way, it's significant to look at the worm and look at the insect. In the same way, it's a parallel. It's the same thing that Yeshua did for us to live. He said, I'll do this for the next generation. I'm going to be nailed to this tree, and I'm going to let you feed of my flesh and drink of my blood so you can have eternal life for the next generation to come. And it signified it from there, and it signified it to now. And when you see the blood, you think about the insect that gave its life for its young to come forth and have life. He gave his life so we can have life. Amen. These facts directly parallel Messiah, who had to die in order to see a harvest. And with that harvest, those who endure to the end. It's something serious for us to take and continue forward what he did for us so that we could live. It's a total waste and a disgrace to trample him under our feet to stop and quit after he gives us eternal life. It's an insult towards Yehovah. I am a worm. Additionally, even the way the word Telah appears in verse 6 speaks of the sacrifice in a telling manner with the addition of the letter Tav. This provides the reader with a powerful imagery to behold. In ancient pictograph Hebrew, often called the letter Tav, actually was depicted exactly like a cross. Therefore, the word, as it appears in the passage from Psalms 22:6, could be said to really promote the idea of a sacrificial worm connected to the cross. This factor maintains the link of Messiah's purpose of giving everything he had to bring forth a seed for the Father and doing it by sacrificing himself for our own future. And that's what he did. And he told, he was on the cross, he says, woman, I make all things new. And that's what he did. He had that on his mind. He had us on his mind. We're going to make all things new. We're going to do away with all this garbage, all this corruption, all this murdering and stealing and lying and cheating and all this death, decay, death and decay. All your loved ones, they all die, and it hurts. It grieves us to have to see someone die. Our flesh tells us we're always going to be like this forever. But when we look across to the next one beside us, we see the age. It comes. And when I look in the mirror, it comes. But we have a hope, and we have a promise, we have a future, and we have expected end of those who endure to the end and listen and obey all his commandments of what he says. And we're going to move on to slide 78. Oh, I just went through that one already. We'll go to Psalms 22, 1 through 31. My El, why have you forsaken me? Far from saving me, far from the words of my groaning. O my Elohim, I call by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I find no rest. Yet you are set apart, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm. Now you know what it means when he says, I am a worm. I'm going to go through exactly what that little creature goes through. I'm going to give my life for them. That's what he means when he says, but I am a worm. I'm going to do this. And not out of reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who seek me mock me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. And that's what they did. When you watch the Passion of Christ, his own brothers spit on him. They slapped him. And even broke the law. He blasphemy. He ripped it open like that. He right in front of me. Yeshua is just, can you imagine being in Yeshua's shoes? He's weeping because you don't know what you're doing. And that's what he said when he was on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because he's read the scriptures. He knows what's going to happen in the end. There's going to be a reversal. In the end, when he returns, there's going to be a reversal. There's my brother. He is alive. He did die and was raised again. And they're going to bow down to Mashiach. And that's what's going to happen until the end, in the end. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, "He trusted in Jehovah. Let him rescue himself. Let him deliver himself, seeing he has delighted in him. For you are the one who took me out of the womb, causing me to trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's belly you have been my El. Do not be far from me, for distress is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong ones of Bashan have encircled me. They have opened their mouths against me as a raging and roaring lion. I have been poured out like water, and all my bones have been spread apart. My heart has become like wax. It has melted in the midst of my inward parts. My strength is dried like a potsherd, and my tongue is cleaving to my jaws. And to the dust of death you are pointing me. For dogs have surrounded me. A crowd of evil ones have encircled me, piercing my hands and my feet. I counted all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my raiment, they cast lots. But you, O Jehovah, do not be far off, O my strength. Hasten to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion and from the horns of the wild beast. You have answered me. I make known your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I praise you. You who fear Jehovah, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, esteem him and fear him. All you seed of Israel, for he has not despised nor hated the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard, from you is my praise in the great assembly. I pay my vows before those who fear him. The meek ones do eat and are satisfied. Let those who seek him praise Jehovah. Let your heart live forever. Let all the ends of the earth remember and turn to Jehovah. And all clans of nations bow themselves before you. For the reign belongs to Jehovah, and he is ruling over the nations. All the fat ones of the earth shall eat and bow themselves. All who go down to the dust bow before him. Even he who did not keep alive his own life. A seed shall serve him. It is declared of Jehovah to the coming generation. It is declared of Jehovah to the coming generation. They shall come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, for he shall do it. And he shall do it. Yeshua, son of Elohim, will give us a clean start and a brand new clean start to live a new life of a new generation to come in the image and the likeness of his Father, Yehovah. Slide 79. And while scarlet typically refers to blood atonement and sacrifice, remember, can't forget that, the blood and the water and the blood. We also note how the harlot, whore of Babylon, rides on a scarlet beast. Now, and is dressed in purple and scarlet, causing many to become drunk on her idolatries and twisted counterfeit teachings. Now, there's a counterfeit. And you won't know the counterfeit if you don't know the beginning to the end. If you don't read the scriptures and know the scriptures, you'll be fooled into believing something that's not true and real. We are to be on guard against false messages and be able to rightly divide the truth, as the enemy certainly tries to mimic the truth and cause many to fall for her falsehood. And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 17. This is in the Brit Hadishah in the New Testament. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. As to the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah and our gathering, our assembling, that's why we learn how to assemble, together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as if the day of Yehovah has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first. What's to come first? The falling away. And the man of lawlessness is to be revealed. The son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or that is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Do you not remember that I told you? So if he says, do you not remember that I told you? You got to remember something we had previously read. Do you not remember that I told you that this while I was still with you? And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time. For the secret of the lawlessness is already at work, only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst. And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Hasatan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit. There's a counterfeit that can try to deceive us. If we don't know the truth, we can be easily deceived. With all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth. You have to receive the love of the truth. When you receive the love of the truth and you start adhering to his or in obeying his commands, the belief becomes real. It becomes reality. And you start listening to the Spirit and do what he says. You believe in what he tells you. It's like reality. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion. Those who are constantly in rebellion, those who are constantly in, is a delusion for them to believe the falsehood and or that all should be judged. And you know, you're sitting there telling people, we got to go back to the beginning of the book, and they're listening. And then when you start talking about certain things, you can automatically see their head shaking, yeah, but you can check it by saying, you know what I mean? And they're still doing this. They're not listening to you at all. The delusion has got them. And the only way it can be opened up is if you pray to the Father, it to be some kind of way, somehow. You know, there's a certain point that people are listening, but you can tell when they're not listening anymore. And you're talking and you're interrupting what, you know what I mean? And you say, they're really not listening anymore. They're just okay. This is getting past my belief. I'm still holding on to what I believe. You know what I'm saying? I'm still believing. It gets tough sometimes. But you end it there, and you just keep continuing on. It says, but we ought to give thanks. It says, but have delight in unrighteousness. But we ought to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brothers, beloved by the Master, because Elohim from the beginning chose you to be saved and set apartness of spirit. Remember, to get the set apartness, first we had to come to Yeshua and repent for where we were at, the half shekel, washed by the water and the word. That's how we believe. We pick up the scripture and we read and we believe and it washed us. And then his blood atoned for us, cleansed us from all our scarlet, crimson, our sin, stain. It gets all cleansed off of us, the blood. And then we get started brand new to start obeying his commands. And then we get enlightened and see the truth. And our eyes get enlightened to seeing the truth. Into which he called you by our good news for the obtaining of the esteem of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand fast. You got to stand fast and hold. You see that word traditions? You got to go look at the Greek word. You got to go look up the Greek word right here. This word, traditions. Read it like this. So then, brothers, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or letter. So let's go look at this word, traditions. It's paradosis, G3862, which is a precept, an ordinance, a law. So we can't just get stuck on traditions. It's a precept, it's an ordinance, and it's a law. So we're looking back at the Torah. That's where it came from. When you read this scripture here, it says, "So then, brothers, stand fast and hold the laws which you were taught, whether by word or by letter, our letter." So don't get trapped by just the word traditions that maybe somebody else might have taught us. We got to go back to the beginning of the book and read what the book says in the Torah and look up these Greek words to make sure what you're reading is in its fullness when you read it. "And our Master Yeshua Messiah himself and our Elohim and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good expectation through favor, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Slide 80. The Hebrew root word for the cleansing of the leper, as mentioned earlier, is teher. Teher. Strong's H2, strong H2891, and carries at its root meaning what we have described in the summary. We take clear note, there's only one who can cleanse us, and that is Messiah. And so, as we come before him and confess our sins to him, our head and our high priest, then he lifts us up and delivers and cleanses us from our sin and dirt. And there's the tav, the hay, and the resh. What we can also see being pictured in this root word is the fact that the blood of Messiah is for all. The clay basket can, in essence, represent the whole basket, meaning the entire body or community. An ephah basket would carry 10 omers. And typically, as we have seen in Scripture, that an omer represents an individual, and 10 represents a quorum, or whole, and therefore an ephah basket speaks of the whole house of Israel. And it is by the blood of Messiah that all who were once far off are now brought near and grafted into the covenant promise by the blood of Messiah. There is no other blood that cleanses, only the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua Messiah. And we talked about the bird over running water. The Hebrew word that is translated as running is Haim, which means life flowing, and comes from the root word Chai, Strong's H2416, which means alive, living, fresh, running, renewed, and a living thing. As a verb, this root appears in three stems in Hebrew. The kale tense conveys the basic meaning to live or have life, whereas the two derived stems overlap in their meaning of giving or restoring life. One of the meanings of the word Chaim is endless life. And so the great picture or foreshadowing of the work of Messiah that we see in this procedure of the killing the one bird in an earthen vessel over running water is a clear representation of Yeshua Messiah, whose blood was shed in an earthen vessel, that being his mortal body, as the Word became flesh and over running water, pictures for us the purification, the cleansing of the house of Israel, and the endless life that he has come to give us, abundant eternal life by the washing of the Word who died for us. What we must guard against is the looking to the letter of the Torah, only as we recognize that the Torah without Messiah contains no life. But it is only in Messiah that true life of the Torah becomes something that can and does sustain us. In Psalms 36:9, "For with you is the fountain of life, and your light we see light." The Hebrew root word that is translated as fountain is makor, Strong's H4726, which means a spring and a fountain, and comes from the root verb kor, Strong's H6979, which means to dig. And we know that we are to dig and to seek out his kingdom and his righteousness. The question is whether people have found the true well of life and are actually sitting and learning at or is at a muddied counterfeit that they have found. This is all relating to the counterfeit I just explained. You won't know the counterfeit if you don't know the history and the language and the context from the beginning of your Bible. The question is whether people have found the true well of life are actually sitting and learning at it or is at a muddy counterfeit that they have found. With Yehovah is the fountain of life. In Psalm 68:6, blessed Elohim in the assemblies, Yehovah from the fountain of Israel. When we come to the fountain of life and gather, we should, as obedient flock who know his voice, then that water of life becomes a fountain in us as our lives are changed and our speech is renewed, enabling us to bring life and healing to the nations. So as we learn, we become a fountain of life. We become and set apartness to the nations. We carry set apartness. As we learn and we keep being obedient, doing the things just like Yeshua did, we become set apart for the nations and for the people around us. In slide 87, there's several scriptures here that are real important to go. You can go back and study those. It gives enough right here in this slide. It says in Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. We become a fountain of life for people. Yeshua became the fountain of life for everybody. And we're his brothers being raised up to carry on what he did. He died for us and was put through a brutal beating. We go through some things, but it'll never be as much as what he went through. He'll never give us more than what we can handle. Never. He said, I'll never give you more than what you can handle. Each and every individual person here, he gives us a talent, and he won't give us more than what we can handle. We can do it. We can make it through it. We can't give up. We become fountains of life for other people. People's lives are at stake, and Yeshua knew that. This next generation, if he didn't make it, they won't make it. A whole generation of people would not make it if he didn't make it. But violence covers the mouth of the wrong. Proverbs 13:14, the Torah of the wise is a fountain of life, turning one away from the snares of death. It keeps us away from the snares of death. The counterfeit, the trappings, the lies, and the snares. We got to meditate in the morning when we wake up. We got to meditate before we lie in our beds at night. We got to pray. We got to do everything. Yeshua told the disciples, wake up, get up, quit sleeping. In Kepha, he said to Yeshua, he says, you know I die for you. And Yeshua's, Kepha, you're not there yet. And he had to learn. And when he saw, and all those things happened, and his heart melted on the inside of him. Everything he said was going to happened. He ran for his life. But he couldn't go very far. He knew where life was and what he had to do. And it happened too. And he went all the way and do it to the end. Incredible life Kepha lived afterwards. But we all go through things. We slip up. We fall. Those who are not here with us that have fallen, they still have a chance. We can keep praying. I don't know the outcome. Yehovah knows everything. I don't put my trust in my thoughts. I put my trust in his thoughts, whatever he thinks. I prayed for them today again. I said, Father, whatever it takes, you know, you do that. I don't know. You know. Whatever the way is, you know the perfect way. Whatever way it takes. I thank you, Father. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14:27. The fear of Yehovah is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it. Everybody has to go through the process to obtain it. There's nobody that's in the world lost that can obtain any of this. You got to go through the process first. You got to go before the priest. You're not getting rid of that stuff till you go before the priest. You have to go before the priest. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the disciplining of fools is folly. Our master in Elohim, Yeshua Messiah, is the living Torah. So now when you go read John, that was all told, that God became flesh and all that. When you go back and read it now, you see after you learn the Torah, Yeshua was the living word, is the living word made flesh. The Torah made flesh. Every one of us is a living Torah in the flesh, living just like Yeshua Messiah did, when being obedient and adhering to all the commands. We are a living Torah. That's what we are. We're a life-giving spirit to those around us, a fountain of life. Our Master in Elohim, Yeshua Messiah, is the living Torah, or rather, the living embodiment of the Torah, and He is our source of life, or rather, He is the life of the Torah. And it all makes sense when He says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, for it is life for you. And He is the life of the Torah. And when we drink of Him, the fountain of life begins to flow out of us as we gain understanding and walk in the fear of Yehovah by walking in the Torah, and our speech becomes a flowing source of life. And you know, if we think back about Moshe, when he was going up on the mountain, certain ones can go up on the mountain because they had his approval. They was being obedient to him. But those that were not being obedient, he says, stand back. There's a line. If you come close, you're going to get burned up. You're going to get struck with an arrow. You can't come in his presence any kind of way you want to. You got to go according to his instructions. And that's why we learn the Torah and all these Torah portions each week, because we're learning his instructions, how to come before him. Because if not, he doesn't listen to our prayers. They're abomination. All the assemblies and all the things that you do in a traditional and religious way are not accepted. It's got to be according to his way. It's got to be clean. He looks at things that are clean. He looks at unclean. And we drink of him, the fountain of life begins to flow out of us as we gain understanding and walk in the fear of Yehovah by walking in the Torah, and our speech becomes a flowing source of life. I never spoke like this 23 years ago. I knew nothing. It was just over time. You keep spending time with him. You go through you go through mistakes. You mess up. You get back up, dust yourself off, repent, teshuvah, get back on track. Trust me. And even after 23 years, I still fall. I still skin my knees. I still make mistakes. You just got to keep trying. After a while, you're going to see that. You're going to hear the Spirit, and it's going to flow. It'll flow. In the ancient pictograph symbols of this word, we are given a greater insight and understanding how Yeshua Messiah is the life. And in the word Chayi, Strong's H2416 in the ancient pictograph script is pictured as follows. A chet and a yod. A chet, remember Scott says it all the time. He loves that letter chet. It's a fence. It's a wall. You're either inside the camp or you outside the camp. And you're carried along by the strong right arm of Yehovah, which is Yeshua Messiah. There's a dividing wall and there's Yeshua Messiah. I've learned what these are by Torah portions Wednesday, Friday, Shabbat, at home. Go over it and go over it and go over it. And you start learning the Hebrew language, its history, and you put in your context and you get into Brit Hadishah and you read Thessalonians, Corinthians. It's right there, plain view. You just got to keep trying, and keep trying. See, the ancient pictograph script here is a tent wall, a separation. And so I just said it, so I don't have to read it. Yod, there's the hand, the arm. From this ancient pictograph lettering of the word for life, Chayi, life, Chayi, we are clearly able to see how the work of Messiah, the outstretched arm and hand of Elohim, we as living stones are built up in him as a dwelling place of a living Elohim, have been separated to serve and worship him. We become clean. We want to be on the clean side, clean. To serve and worship him in spirit and in truth. These two pictographs can render for us the clear meaning, separated to serve. And we got a long ways to go, but I'm going to end it right here. So there's a lot of detail. I didn't get through all the Torah portion, all the slides, because I'm studying and going through certain parts in it. Get to some more maybe the next round, next year. But now we're going to be going into our next Torah portion, this Shabbat, which would be number 29. And so we're going to end right here. And so anybody have any prayer requests. You know them. Jehovah knows them. And I'll go ahead and end it in prayer if y'all want.